of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is on high, he looks down upon the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk through the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes, and with your right hand you save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. Let me pray for us. Thank you, God, that you are awesome, you're mighty, you're powerful, and you bring us into your presence, and we don't have to fear and shy away as if you're going to zap us. But here we can stand holy, made holy, made righteous in your presence alone. So help us to worship you. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.
Morning. Let's all rise. Let's have a little bit of fun. Let's praise our God together.
I see the King of Glory coming on the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes. The whole earth shakes.
I see his love.
Hosanna, Hosanna,
dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe of the souls of all who come to the Father are restored, and the Church of Christ was born, and is here within the flame. Now this God's the truth of all, shall not kneel, shall not faint, by his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me.
Father God, thank you so much for everything, Lord God. Thank you so much for giving us just a reason to live, Lord God, a reason to pursue life, a reason to look forward to tomorrow. Thank you for giving us hope. Thank you for giving us life. And thank you ultimately for giving us a way to you, God. We're here today, and we're going to talk about why we are here today. Why God? And why you, Jesus? And there are so many personal reasons, Lord God. And whatever our own journeys are, may we just have the courage in our hearts and have the bravery in our souls to bring it forth, Lord God. There are so many times in life where we choose to withhold our genuine emotions and our feelings against what society tells us, against what our schedule tells us, against what we choose to tell ourselves as lies, Lord God. But in reality, you gave us our own journey, you gave us our own reason, Lord God, for you. And ultimately, the process, the starting point, the end point is always going to be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And ultimately, Jesus, we thank you so much for dying for us, Lord God. And Thank you for giving us a reason to live every day, Lord God. So I pray that you reach out, touch us, God, wherever we are. If we're low, meet us there. If we're up on the mountains and the clouds, meet us there, Lord God. But ultimately, may you be the center of all things, the reason why we meet, Lord God, the reason why we can call this a family, we can call this a body, we can call each other brothers and sisters, Lord God, because you gave us a reason to, Lord God. And we pray that you show us today, this week, this year, our true reason, and that is you, Lord God. So we pray and we thank you for the faithful giving and the service of tithing or just time, Lord God. We thank you for everybody's generosity, and we thank you for their cheerful giving hearts, Lord God. And we pray that you take this money, you further the kingdom one step, if it's even just half a step, Lord God, but you do it in your will, Lord God. Thank you so much for today. In Jesus' name I pray, thanks to you. Amen. as the colors of the morning are inside your eyes. The world awakens in the light of the day. I look up to the sky and say, you're beautiful.
Let me lead us in a time of prayer. Thank you, God, for your beauty, your presence here. And we can stand in your presence, again, holy, made righteous, forgiven, rather than dirty, sinful, wallowing in guilt and shame. You have made us like Christ. And that's kind of freaking in its own way, but glorious. So help us, Lord, to be able to stand in your presence, to worship you. We pray, Lord, as we start this whole September, this whole fall, this whole new year and season, we would discover our purpose and your purpose for us. And it's more than just attending a church, but to actually follow you. Lord, fulfill your purpose in us. And we pray that all the stuff that goes on today, beginning, starting today, with discovering fellowship together, discovering this new church, discovering this everything that goes on here, points to you. Whether it's youth ministry, worship ministry, ushering, preaching, anything and everything is designed to point to you. So help us to see you in all these things. Wake us up and shake us up, we ask in the name of Christ. Amen. Please be seated.
Well, good morning, church. I want to say welcome. We've got some visitors today from a long ways away. And so we welcome you, and we're glad that you're here. If you're a regular member, we're so glad that you've decided to come back to church. This is Back to Church Sunday. It's September 8th. How was school this week? That great, eh? All right, way to go. Well, you keep in there. You only have about another 40 weeks to go before summer vacation. So just hang in there, persevere. Do want to say welcome. If you're here for the first time, I would love it if you would just fill out a sort of a guest card, just so we have some way of contacting you. But at the end of our service today, we're going to have some opportunities for signing up, volunteering for some opportunities to serve in our church. And I'm reminded, when I look at this huge worship team, I'm just so proud of you guys. And I'm seeing, you know, Chelsea, you're over there playing piano. And I go, oh, you can play piano too. Which instrument do you not play? Right? Bass guitar, guitar, piano, and you don't play drums. Okay, well, okay, there you go. So that's a deficit. You need to spend more time with Nathan, I guess. So... I just really appreciate that you guys, you know, bring worship in such a great way and just such a great worship set. And really talking about, so we're going to lean into the purposes that God has for us. And this is really the first week of about 2 months. So if you like today, then you got to come every week for like the next 2 months. We're going to take a little bit of a break at Thanksgiving, but we're going to be going through a book called What Am I Here For? And so I'd like you to pay your attention to this video, and then I'll share some more words. A number of years ago, we had a MacBook laptop that failed. The screen just went black. It was a faulty video processor made by NVIDIA, and I paid a lot of money to fix it. Years later, same problem. Screen went black again, and so the laptop kind of went from being pretty useful to being pretty useless, right? That's the laptop, by the way. And I'm thinking maybe this would fix it. So, yeah. Anyways, the Apple repair guy, he advised me that there was some kind of class action lawsuit about the video processor. Well, I looked it up and I realized that I fit the description. So I, you know, filled in the paperwork, sent it in, and then pretty much forgot about it for like, I don't know, months. Could have been years, I don't really remember. All of a sudden, one day, in the mail, I got a check for hundreds of dollars because I won the lottery. Yeah, because they found out that there was a faulty video processor that they knew about, and they covered the entire repair bill. Well, it was really a huge blessing in our life, because I think that was the part of my life where I was out of work for a while and we didn't have a lot of cash. So I was able to take that money and put it into a new laptop, which we really needed. And so it all worked out really great, right? I could buy something that would serve the purpose for which it was created. You know, when it comes to purpose in life, a lot of people are like a laptop that goes blank. They just like, I don't know. Yeah, I wish I knew. You know, some people, you know, wish they knew, but they're just blank, right? And even famous prophets of God, like Jeremiah, had difficult days when he questioned the purpose of life. Here's Jeremiah. He's in the Bible. He's a famous prophet. He says, "Why was I born? Was it only to have trouble and sorrow, to end my life in disgrace?" He was going through the dark night of the soul, and he was questioning the purpose of his life, and he was depressed. And lots of people have big questions about why they're here on earth. So today's the first day in a big series that we're doing called What on Earth Am I Here For? And it's based on a book that was written by Rick Warren a number of years ago called Purpose-Driven Life. And so, Rick Warren realized this is kind of an older book now. I guess I should be aware of how many years ago, but I don't remember. Anyways, Rick Warren wrote a book called The Purpose-Driven Life. And about 10 years on the 10th anniversary, he realized that lots of people had read his book, millions. But there was a whole generation that was growing up, they had never heard of the book. So he rewrote it, wrote a couple of chapters, called it What on Earth Am I Here For? So that's the new version. It sold more than 32 million copies, by the way. It's probably one of the most influential books in evangelical Christianity in North America. It's one of the biggest sellers in history. If you've already read it, you know it's worth reading and maybe rereading. But if you've never read it, if you're part of that generation that's never read it, I'm going to challenge you to come and read a book. It's divided up into 42 chapters, which are probably take about 5 to 8 minutes to read every day. Depends if you're a fast reader or not. And I'm going to challenge you to read it. And I've got books at the back, and you can take one home today, and we're going to start reading it either this week or next week for sure. And I just don't know how many people want books. So if we run out, I'm going to order more, and we'll have them here by next Sunday. But you have to say, you say, I don't read books except on my smartphone. I'll send you a PDF copy of The Purpose-Driven Life. Okay? You can read it on your smartphone. If you don't know your purpose in life, I believe this book and this series will change your life. So let's begin today about talking about the purpose that God has for you. First of all, I want to affirm the fact that God does have a purpose for your life. You're not an accident. Now, your parents might not have planned you. Yeah, you know how that works now, don't you? But God planned you. He wasn't surprised by your birth. God knew every detail about your body, your hair color, your skin color, your eye color, your height, genetic makeup, everything. He custom made it the way he wanted it. Look at this verse. It's found in Psalm 139. For you, God, created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame wasn't hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. You're not an accident, and God has a purpose for you. Psalm 57:2 says, I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. Psalm 138 that we read this morning, Matt read, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Wouldn't that be a great epitaph to have on your tombstone, right? He served God's purpose in his life. Our lives begin with God's purpose and end when God's purpose for our life is finished. I was born in Medicine Hat. I don't know when and where I'll die. There was a famous guy, he said, I wish I knew where I'd die because I'd make a point never to go there. But we don't know, right? God knows. God knows when we're born, when we'll die. He knows why we're here. He's got a purpose for us. Everything that was created is here for a purpose. God's got a purpose for you. Friends, the day that you were born was a great day in history. And the second great day in history is when you realize why you were born. Okay? And how do we know what the purpose is for our life? Well, when we decide to try and find the meaning of life by looking within ourselves and creating our own purpose and our own goals, I think that's the wrong place to start. Like, very often we ask children, so what do you want to be when you grow up, right? Like they're supposed to know the purpose for their life, right? Like, what, and whatever they want to be, I guess that's their purpose, right? I want to be an astronaut, okay. I want to be a doctor, I want to be a hockey player, whatever. Focusing on ourselves and our dreams and our desires will never reveal God's purpose for our lives. Like, imagine that you've got a car and it doesn't run and you want to fix it. The first thing you should do is look at the manual. Well, unless it's kind of obvious, right? Don't know, mate. Maybe she's flooded or something, right? That's my only meme today, so you better laugh while you can. If you're trying to invent your own purpose, you're bound to fail. The car won't fix itself. What you need to do is check God's manual and see what he says about the purpose of your life. If I handed you an invention that you'd never seen before, I think I got a new, okay? The invention itself wouldn't tell you its purpose. And you wouldn't know its purpose for sure. You could speculate, but you wouldn't know for sure. And the more physicists, biologists, and other scientists learn about the universe, the better we understand how uniquely suited for our existence, custom-made with the exact specifications that make human life possible here on Earth. But it still begs the question, why are we here? And we have a lot of people who speculate about the purpose of life. They're called philosophers. Speculating on the reason for our existence has kept philosophers in business for thousands of years. But most philosophers aren't very sure about the question of life's purpose. Some even say there's no ultimate purpose. In fact, existential philosophy, which is, I would say, very popular and very dominant, maybe in especially in Central Europe, parts of Europe and North America, teaches that there is no higher purpose. There is no ultimate purpose. When you die, your body goes in the ground, that's it. And so how can you have a purpose, right? Life is meaningless unless you make it. Whatever purpose you give it, that's your purpose. Yeah, I think that's wrong. But they're speculating. They don't know for sure. Only the creator or the owner's manual can explain the purpose of the invention. It's a good thing we have the Bible, God's word, to reveal God's purposes to us. The easiest way to discover the purpose of an invention is to ask the creator of it. The same is true for discovering your life's purpose. Well, let's ask God. Okay, so that's the first thing I want to say is you're not an accident. Second thing that's very important to know is that you were made for God's glory. See, you've got to begin with God who created you to understand his reasons for creating you. The purpose of your life is far greater than your personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, your happiness, right? It's greater than your family, your career, your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you've got to begin with God. You were made by God and for God, and until you get that, life will never make sense. Look at this verse, Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. For thy pleasure. Friends, it's not about you. Those are the first words of Rick Warren's book. It's not about you. You may choose your career, your spouse, your hobbies, other parts of your life, but you don't get to choose your purpose. The purpose of your life fits into a much larger cosmic purpose that God has designed for eternity. And your purpose is significant precisely because it's part of God's purposes for this world. But you have to come to this place. You're not the most important part of the universe. Like, yesterday we went to go visit James and Belinda's little boy, Alan. And, you know, when new babies are born, like he was born preemie, right, this summer. And so he's just now about sort of the size of a newborn. And sort of we had, you know, lots of fun, you know, just Googling and holding him and everything. And you just realize again, you go, wow, kids take a lot of time, right? Like you just see the whole process again. You just pray for them. You just bless you. You know, how do you do it? I must have done it. I survived, but I don't know how we got through it. But, you know, children just need so much. They're completely dependent on adults. But as children grow up, they need to learn that the world doesn't revolve around them, right? They aren't the center of the universe. And that's a fundamental thing for all of us as we mature. if we want to understand our purpose in the world, it's not about you. Well, if it's not about you and it's not about me, then who's it about? You discover your identity and your purpose through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:16. Everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in him, in Christ, and finds its purpose in him, in Christ. Jesus is the master key that unlocks the secrets of the universe. It's only in God that we discover our origin, our identity, our meaning, our purpose, our significance, and our destiny. We live to bring glory to God. We bring glory to God by worshiping him. We bring glory to God by loving other believers. We bring glory to God by becoming like Christ. We bring glory by serving others with our gifts. And we bring glory by telling others about him. And we're going to look at each of those purposes in detail in the weeks to come. But I want to impress upon you this morning the importance of this phrase, to bring glory to God. I don't know if you've ever heard of Johann Sebastian Bach, but he said, all music should have no other end and aim than the glory of God and the refreshment of the soul. And he headed his compositions JJ, Jesus Juva, which means Jesus help me. And he ended them with SDG, Soli Dei Gratia, which means to God alone be the praise. Now, if you want to bring God glory, sometimes it won't be easy. Jesus was about to be crucified. He didn't want to die, right? He knew that the only way he could save us and have a relationship with us for eternity was if he would go through the cross. And he said, what shall I say? So this is like on the night in which, before he died. Jesus says, shall I say, Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify thy name. That's how Jesus prayed. So his primary focus was glorifying God, even though it was that great personal sacrifice. Jesus was willing to die a horrible death on the cross in order to bring God glory. Friends, dying to yourself and living for Jesus is the way that you can bring God glory. Well, another part of our purpose is to know that you're loved and that you were made to have a relationship with God. Like, how do you know that you're loved? Somebody loves you. Well, somebody tells you with words, right? Here's the words that God says about you. I have loved you with an everlasting love. But some of you are going to say, okay, I need a lot more than words. I want to see actions. Well, God cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. God provides for you. 2 Peter 1:3 says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. God pays attention to you in great detail. Psalm 139 says, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. Were I to count them, they'd outnumber the grains of sand. The grains of sand on the seashore? Do you believe that? God thinks about you millions of times every day. How's that for paying close attention to you? Jesus paid the ultimate price for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him wouldn't perish but have eternal life. Jesus' death on the cross is a demonstration of grace. It was while we were still sinners, not when we got our lives all together. Friends, you're loved. This is fundamental to understand your purpose in life. Because God's love shows our true value. How do you know the value of something or someone? Well, okay, let's say this painting, this is Poppies by Monet. Okay, it's in not the Louvre, the Museum of French Impressionists in Paris. Okay, we happened to see it one day. How do you know that painting is valuable? Number one, by the name of the artist, right? If it says Monet and it's really Monet, it's really valuable. Millions, right? Like start and then go up from there, right? Start with a few million and go up. But, you know, like the second way to know a price of a painting is simply by the price someone is willing to pay. How do you know the true value of yourself? Well, first of all, because of the artist. The name, God's image is in you. You were made in God's image, so you're very valuable. But what about the price that was paid for you? Jesus died for you. What kind of a price is that? It's the ultimate price. So you're of incredible value and significance. Our identity is wrapped up in our relationship with God as well. He says, you're mine. 1 John 3:1 says, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. You're a child of God, so that's your identity. And your destiny is that you're going to become like Jesus. 1 John 3:2. Now we're children of God, and what will be hasn't yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is. So you're loved, you're valuable, and more than anything, God wants a relationship with you. When I think about some of the happiest times in my life, some of the first things I think about are the relationships with my family. I think about the day I married Linda, my beautiful, beautiful bride, right? One of the happiest days of my life. And then I think about like the birth of every one of my children. And then I think about like all the things, you know, that we've done together, like mostly as a family, right? We've fed elephants and giraffes and dolphins, and we've been all around the world together. We've shared life together. It's been fantastic. I wouldn't trade them for anything in the world. It's relationships that bring us the greatest joy in life, isn't it? And that's why God created us, for the joy of a relationship with you. Can you believe it? As the Westminster Catechism says, the chief purpose of mankind is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Wow. God made us to enjoy him, and he enjoys us. I hope this is kind of like opening up something in your way of thinking about God. Let me move forward and say this too about your purpose. You were made to last forever. God has put eternity in the hearts of human beings. You're born with an instinct for life and immortality. That's because God made you in his image. And he made you for a relationship with him, and he desires for that relationship to last forever. And even though we know everyone dies here on earth eventually, right? Death always seems unfair. It seems unnatural. Because God made us for eternal life. Death was a curse that entered the world through sin, but it wasn't God's first choice. We can't imagine eternity. The Bible says, no mind is conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. It's going to be fantastic. Like, we're not just going to lie around all day and play harps in heaven, I don't think. There won't be any pain, suffering, or death. Our bodies won't break down anymore. We'll be able to eat and not gain weight. Can I get an amen from the ladies? We'll be able to build homes without doors because we'll be able to walk through walls just like Jesus did. That'll be cool. We're going to create new worlds. We'll have all eternity to meet billions of others of God's children, and that's heaven if you're an extrovert. It's just going to be fantastic. You can't imagine how great heaven will be. We don't always like to think about life after we die. There was a diehard golfer. He was praying, and suddenly an angel appeared to him. And he said, what questions do you have of God? And he says, well, there's one thing I really would like to know. Is there golf in heaven? And the angel said, well, I'll have to get back to you about that. The angel came back the next day, and he said, well, I've got some good news and some bad news. Well, what's the good news? Good news is there is golf in heaven. There's so many courses. They're the most beautiful things. You can't imagine the waterfalls, views on every hole. It's fantastic. It's unbelievable. You might never have to play the same golf course twice in your lifetime there. He says, what's the bad news? You tee off at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Matthew Henry said, it ought to be the business of every day to prepare for our final day. We're not citizens of this world. We're citizens of heaven. We're not even permanent residents on earth. We're foreigners. We're visitors. We're alien travelers. This world isn't your home, so don't get too cozy in it. Many people act like they're never going to leave this earth. You know, I don't know if you can imagine what eternity is really like, but if you can imagine, like, this part of this cord, this is kind of life on earth, right? Some of us, you know, 60 years, 70, 80, if you have the strength, the Bible says, these days we're living to 100. Maybe you could make it to 110 if you eat, I don't know, super clean, healthy yogurt all day or something. I don't know what you got to eat. But everyone, like, that's maximum, right? And this is our life on earth. But you see, like, eternity is just so much longer, right? It's unending. And you think, well, just when you think it's gonna end, it doesn't. It just keeps going. It might change color. But it just keeps going, right? It's forever. Okay, well, it's not forever. I lost my other color. There was another one there. The point is, you know what? We spend so much of our life on this part. But really what we need to be thinking is this endless eternity to live for and what that's going to be like. You won't be in heaven 2 seconds before you think to yourself, well, why did I put so much time and energy on those things that were temporary? Friends, if there's a heaven and a hell, we ought to make 100% sure that we don't miss heaven. And there's a way to know. Did you know that? There's a way to know. 1 John 5 says, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever doesn't have the Son does not have life. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. That you might know, not that you might think, not that you might hope, not that you might guess, not that you might speculate, that you might know. You can know that you're going to heaven if you know Jesus personally. Friends, become a fully devoted follower of Jesus today. Well, I need to wrap it up, but there's one more thing about our purpose that I need to talk about. This life, this little bit of eternity, this is a test. Adam and Eve were given a test. Would they obey God or would they do their own thing? They were given an amazing Garden of Eden to live in, all the free food they could eat. But the one rule was, don't touch the tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There was no rule against eating the fruit of the tree of life. God's purpose was to give them and us eternal life, but they had a test. And the fruit of that one tree that they were told not to eat from, it looked really good. And Satan tempted them and lied to them about the consequences if they ate it. And Satan said, you won't die. You'll become like God. And when the woman saw the fruit of the tree, that it was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, men. He was right with her. So, like, let's not be blaming Eve on this one. And he ate it. They failed the test and paid the consequences. Character is both revealed and developed by tests, and all of life is a test. You're always being tested. You face adversities, problems, challenges of all kinds in life, including how do you treat others? And what are you going to do with your possessions? How do you respond to authority? God led the nation of Israel the long way to the promised land through the desert. Why? To humble them, to test them, and to know what was in their hearts, whether they'd keep his commands or not. God wants us to pass the tests that we face. Blessed are those who endure when they're tested. When they pass the test, they'll receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. This life is a test, and it's also a trust. Linda and I were mission workers with our family in Russia for many years, so we didn't buy our first home until 2008. And when we went back to Russia, we had to find renters. And it was a pretty nervous thing to find renters for our house. And we'd never done this before, but we started interviewing people to rent our home. You know, and then one by one we'd find out, okay, this family, they only have three dogs, that's a lot of dogs, right? There was one family, we could tell they were smokers, and we go, oh, I don't think, you know, 40 below, are they going to smoke inside or outside? There was a policeman in our home group at that time. He said, well, watch out that you don't get people that are going to make a grow-up out of your house, you know. And so we were really nervous, right, about this whole process. We were so thankful that we found a Christian lady from First Alliance who was reliable, she was trustworthy, and she was an interior decorator. She invested her own time and money to make our home better. She put up the Roman blinds and some wallpaper and, you know, friends, that kind of renter is rare. See, there's an attitude in our culture that says, well, if you don't own it, you don't have to take care of it. But Christ followers have a higher standard. We say, because God owns it, I should take care of it the best I can. Our bodies don't belong to us. They were bought with a price by Jesus, so we should treat our bodies as a temple of the Holy Spirit. Right? We should eat healthy food in moderation, stay away from harmful substances, get plenty of exercise, because it belongs to God. Our finances, well, they're a trust that God gives to us. God owns everything. God doesn't own 10% of what you have. He owns everything. Jesus told a story about a businessman that went away and trusted his servants with his money, each according to their ability. And the first two servants doubled the amount they were given. And the owner said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Friends, God's happy when we're trustworthy. At the end of our life, we're going to be evaluated and rewarded based on how we've handled earthly wealth. Money is a test, and it's a trust from God. And the more God gives you, the more responsibility you have to steward it well. If you can't be trusted with worldly wealth, Jesus said, who'll trust you with the true riches of heaven? Unless you're faithful in small matters, you won't be faithful in large ones. And what you do with your time, well, that's another huge area of trust. You know, it says, look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of your time because the days are evil. Are you living for yourself, for the kingdom of me, or for the kingdom of God? When you volunteer your time to help others, teach others, encourage others, you're investing time in the kingdom of God. That's a great investment. Invest in your soul. Invest in others. So here's the question. What or whom are you going to live for? Yourself or God's glory? God's inviting you today to live for his glory by fulfilling his purposes. It's the only way to live. Everything else is just existing. Real life begins by committing yourself completely to Jesus. And if you've never done that, I just want to tell you the ABCs of how to fully commit your life to Jesus. A, admit that you're a sinner who needs God's forgiveness. Say, God, I need you. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died and rose again. Believe that he made you for a purpose. Believe that you're not an accident. Believe you were made to last forever. And C, confess Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. Become a fully devoted follower and get baptized. We've got a possibility of a baptism on September 22nd. And I'd just invite you to be a part of that. If you've never declared your allegiance to Jesus, that would be a great day. Here's the great thing. If you receive Jesus in your life, you become a child of God. When you admit your need to God and believe on Jesus and confess Him as your Savior and Lord, God gives you the Holy Spirit to help you live the Christian life. He doesn't leave you alone. He'll be with you forever, and He gives you the desire and the ability to achieve the purposes for which you've been created. So God created you to center your life around God. And I want to challenge you to read or reread The Purpose-Driven Life during the next 2 months. And if you want a book, there's going to be right out back in the foyer as you leave today. And if we run out, one condition. Well, two conditions. One per family. But the other condition is that you'll read it. Don't just take a book and throw it in a corner. Just leave it here then. But if you'd rather have the PDF version, just give me your email and I'll send it to you this week. Okay? God created you to connect with other believers. Friends, I want to invite you to join a small group. Small groups help us process information and put it into practice. And so if you're not a part of a home group, come and talk to me. I'm going to be back right in the foyer and we'll get you part of a small group. God wants you to cultivate spiritual maturity. So what we're going to do in our small groups, we're going to watch a short video and then talk about it in small groups. And this is going to be in all the small groups. I want Crossroads to do this, adult home groups, young people, there might be something more at your level, but I want all of our home groups to be doing this. And you can, if you want more, you say, oh, that's not enough. Like, I can't just have a half hour video once a week or something like that. You can go to purposedriven.com. There's a 40-minute message for every day of reading. If you say 5 to 8 minutes is just not enough to lean into your purpose, man, there's all kinds of stuff available. And memorize the key 6 verses. God calls you to make a contribution to your life. So I want to invite you to volunteer in ministry in this next year. We've got a welcome team sign up, and that's Elton back there, and he's going to be there. If you'd like to be a part of the welcome team, the greeters, the people who kind of just take the offering and carry it upstairs so it can get counted, let's go see Elton. If you want to be part of a sound team, those really important people at the back that we never see, except I get to see them because I'm looking this way. Like Corliss and whoever else is back there, somebody. Oh, it's Alvin. Then talk to Lincoln. And worship team. Now, obviously, if you want to be a part of a worship team, you have to audition. You have to have some kind of vocal or instrumental talent. But talk to Nathan or talk to Chelsea. Prayer team. Talk to my wife, Linda. Children's ministries. Sham, or whoever she's delegated as her representative. Youth ministry. Talk to Pastor Matt. Small groups. Come talk to me. If you want to be a part of ESL, talk to Tay. Crossroads. Talk to Enoch. Outreach events. Janice is going to be there, but we've got some ideas for Christmas outreach, movie outreach, and maybe Valentine's. If you would like to be baptized or become a member of our church, I'd like you to talk to Mark Ng. Friends, God wants you to make a contribution with your life. And there's one more thing. God's love inspires you to communicate God's love to others. I want to invite you or challenge you to invite a friend or two to be a part of our series. It's a series that can change not just your life, but can change the life of somebody that you know. Somebody at work, a friend. I invited a backyard neighbor. I was out this week and invited her and got to make sure I re-invite in this series. So come and join us every week. We're going to close just with showing a portion of this song. And so just pay attention to this screen and sing along if you know the song. Well, Jesus, we worship you. You're the reason that we live. Thank you for loving us. And I pray that we would discover our purpose and lean into it with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you greet those around you as you exit this morning? God bless you. See you next week.